B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Steaky Lane?
You know why I went a year without touching myself?
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I wish somebody would have marooned them.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Butch and Marcellus Wallace were knocked out cold, but they're not anymore. And they've woken up in a very strange basement. Zeb the cop and his weird nameless buddy seem to have something in store. Weird nameless guy is walking over to a mysterious wooden trunk in the back of the basement. What in the world is in that trunk? Hang on. That's a human. It's a man, I think. Whatever it is, it's covered in leather from head to toe. Apparently, it's time to bring out the gimp. Bad things are happening to Marcellus Wallace. And that looks like a samurai sword. Butch now impaling the weird nameless guy with a samurai sword. And Marcellus is a long way from being okay.
Step aside, Butch.
Marcellus is emphatic with Zed, promising to come back and get medieval on that ass. If you're taking bets on this matchup, Zed's dead, baby. Zed's dead. Here we are in World 1-1, a plumber just looking for a warm zone, fighting some dragons, and eating some mushrooms. Why not? Look at this financial windfall. Coins, coins, coins for everybody. And for some inexplicable reason, he's able to pick a flower which lets him shoot fireballs. Sorry to break it to you, plumber guy, but your princess is in another castle.
There we go. 98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. Does that sound right?
You sound good, bud.
Do I? Okay.
You sound okay.
Maybe my headphones are just jacked. Or maybe I'm just blown away by the golden pipes of Mr. Dave Gosher. I spent about 20 minutes this morning going through old Dave Gosher does the movies, and I forgot we had done a video game segment where he does the play-by-play for some classic arcade games. Dave Gosher going to be doing the play-by-play tonight. He works for the Golden Knights now, but he's going to be on NBC Sports, like the big one, with Pierre Maguire.
National broadcast, he and Pierre.
And we're going to have him on at 9:30 this morning. We're good old Dave Gosher, the voice of the Bruins during all of that wonderful the Stanley Cup season. When did he leave, like 2-3 years ago? He's now with Shane Knighty, and Judd Sirod is now in his spot. But to my left, I do not want to waste any time. We have Mr. Ted Johnson who will be filling in this morning.
Boys, how are we doing this morning, man?
Good morning.
It's good to be here with you guys.
What is what is breakfast for Ted Johnson like? Because you're a big man.
First question out of his mouth is, what I eat for breakfast?
Okay.
The first time I saw you after you returned, you were absolutely crushing Chinese food. Oh, we talked about this. You had about three people's worth of Chinese food when I saw you.
Okay.
So I think that's a legit question.
That's a pretty strong impression on a lot of the people at that dinner that night.
Oh, my God.
That dude can eat.
Okay, so the story behind the Ted Johnson Kowloon deal is that a couple of weeks ago, an email goes out to a bunch of people saying, hey, we're going to all go to Kowloon, and, you know, Andy Wong's doing this thing. And every once in a while, some like Jimmy Stewart and a couple guys, they invite some of their friends out to Kowloon, and just I don't know why Andy Wong does it. It's just a cool thing to do. He just gives a ton of food to anyone from the sports that wants to go. So I see these pictures that come out, and it's, you know, the regular Kowloon crew, and Ted Johnson's there, and I'm like, that was cool. Ted Johnson showed up. I hear two things the next morning. Number one is that apparently, Ted, you thought it was just like a 98.5 Sports of Work thing. And you just showed up, and then you're like, oh, it's just kind of the weirdos from 98.5.
Yep. And all of a sudden, he was trapped.
And you can't leave once show up.
It's like Star Wars. It's a trap.
Right, you walked into what is essentially the sports media version of the Star Wars bar, where you've got in the background, you know, Jim Stewart, you know, and then, you know, Sarge is running all around. So you couldn't leave at that point, right?
I was locked in at that point. Okay. Yeah, right. Get a chair, settle in. You're good.
You're there.
Yeah, I'm there.
And then the other thing I heard was that Ted Johnson just crushed the food there. Yeah. Okay. So
I couldn't stop eating, man. I was so hungry.
I'll say.
I couldn't stop eating. I came from a basketball game, and then the traffic there was forever.
Yeah.
And I was about, an hour or 30 minutes past the time I normally eat. Like, I eat pretty on a fairly regimented time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was difficult because I didn't know, 90% of the people there.
Yeah.
And so I like to think of myself as a people person, and I like to get to know people and engage in some good conversations. It was very difficult. Like, I was so hungry. Like, I don't remember anything anybody was saying to me because I was so hungry. And I was just, I remember like, yeah, gotcha. All right. Where's, because they were making my own. I asked for like 3 or 4 different things. And there was food everywhere.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't really want to dive into what's, and then so they brought me all this food.
Yeah.
And I just said, basically, sorry, I need to go over here and take care of this. And I just started going. And just everything, the poo-poo platters and all the stuff. And it was great. It was awesome. And the hospitality was great. I just remember Sarge, you good? Hey, you like this? Have you tried this?
As if Sarge has any control of what's going on anyway. It's all being run by someone else, but Sarge wants to make you think that he's the one in charge.
So I did embarrass myself, I guess. I guess
not
I
just embarrassing left, yourself?
I left quite an impression on how I, yes.
No,
I
it was impressive. You weren't. Don't back away from this at all. It was very impressive.
Okay, good.
Also, it sounds like a defense technique. You said you didn't know many people there, like 90%. So it's like, that's what I would do.
Yeah, just eat.
I'm going to eat, so I don't have to talk to anybody. Yeah. I got food in my mouth. I don't have to deal with anyone.
Yeah.
Sarge, go away. I understand. It's Andy Wong who's bringing this stuff out and his crew. You have nothing to do with that. But that just goes to say, I mean, you've never had to worry about, like, since you started, like, truly, like, probably high school, right? Like, when you decided you were all in on football, have you ever had to worry about the amount of food that you ate? Like, have you ever been like, oh, man, maybe this is too much? Or have you just been able to crush whatever's in front of you, and you never had to worry.
I can crush anything in front of me. It's funny. I'm 46 years old right now. I retired from the game almost 13 years ago, and I weigh the exact same amount that I did when I played.
Wow!
After all these years, and basically, I've been 6'4", 250 pounds. Well, this is 6'4". I've always been 6'4", but I've been 250 pounds. Ever since basically my rookie year in New England, which was 1995. So I've had moments in my life where I have literally like just gone down in a blaze of glory and said, screw it. And so I've gone almost up to 300 pounds before.
Really?
But then just worked it right back down to my what my playing weight always is. And I feel really good at this weight. And you asked me what I eat for breakfast?
Yeah.
Rich, I had about, I would probably say I average anywhere from 6 to 8 egg whites.
Okay.
Every day. I just, the liquid egg whites.
Yeah.
And it's probably equivalent of 6 or 7 eggs.
Okay.
And so, and then oatmeal is always good. And so those are like the two things that I eat every single morning. Like I can eat the same thing for breakfast and lunch. And then I just change up the variations of at dinner time, but I pretty much eat the same stuff almost every day.
Have you ever had one shining moment where you look and you said, this is the most food that I've ever eaten in one sitting? Like one where you just were like, I'll never top this.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably like one of those, I don't know, I was out late all night, kind of like Harold and Kumar goes to White Castle. Early in the morning where it just like, I just want a White Castle so bad. And I've had like scarfed down like 20 White Castles or something. Oh. So, something like that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
20?
All right. This is an entire segment that later on we might have to get into. I will give you the fast food restaurant. And I want you to tell me what the most was you ever ordered in one sitting.
Okay.
But I know that obviously you're somebody who, keeps in good shape, but that doesn't mean you have avoided fast food restaurants your life, right?
No, I'll attack it pretty good. Yeah.
All right.
But I'm not like, I don't eat like, look, I mean, I play with offensive linemen that weigh, 100 pounds more than me.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's fascinating to watch offensive linemen eat. It's the buffet, right? I do kind of miss the buffet. When you play football, everything's a buffet line.
Yeah.
And it's so you can just eat. I don't have that anymore, right? But those offensive linemen, I play with guys that can eat a lot more than me. So
Mike Flynn has sat here and told us about offensive linemen meals and who got stuck with the check.
But I'm like, and those guys, I mean, there's like, they have ice cream at these buffets, and our I'd always ask my nutritionist, what is the ice cream here for? I mean, we're like supposed to be, you know, eat only good food. And she's like, it's for coaches. The coaches like it. So what happened? Those offensive linemen would eat it, and I'd go by. I'm like, what are you guys doing? You know, what are you guys eating that crap for? Well, it's out there. Yeah. Well, I know, but you don't have to eat it just because it's sitting out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Know? But, the buffet line I do miss at this point, being retired and not having the buffet lines like I used to.
So you were there, obviously, when Charlie Weiss was with the team.
Charlie, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, that's one of the best stories is about, apparently, now, did you ever see this happen? Because I forget who told us this. Was it Matt?
Zolak? Zolak okay. told us
I know it was Zolak or was Matt. Matt Light was here.
Light confirmed it, but Zolak was the one who originally told us.
Okay, he said that Charlie Weiss used to go up to the buffet, and you know how like the trays have the bacon tray underneath it. They'll put the bread for all of the bacon grease to kind of go into
soak
the bread.
Into the bread, yeah.
He said that Charlie Weiss would go up and pick up the little thing and grab the grease covered bread and make sandwiches out of it.
Bacon sandwiches really? Out of the bread.
Did you ever notice that?
I never saw that. That's yeah.
But does it surprise you?
No, not really. No, you know? No. Charlie's, I think, always struggled with his weight, you know, and that's.
We saw him in Atlanta, as a matter of fact.
Actually, yeah. Charlie. Okay, Weiss. But in fairness, what did I say when you told me I was behind the line,
lost
Charlie
weight.
Weiss?
No, Charlie is
how,
lost
how
weight.
Had, okay, he had the procedure, right?
Yes.
Well, procedure or not, I didn't even think it was, because what's the first thing you think of when you think of Charlie Weiss? I think he's probably a pretty big guy,
right.
You know,
yeah.
and he was in front of me in line. And Wallach said, "Do you know it was him?" I was like, "No way,
no,
it wasn't him.
Didn't
he
even know
he was way too small."
Yeah.
So he's done something to help out his health. I mean, he didn't look as big as.
Oh, it's good though.
I thought he was going to look good.
He still doesn't move very quickly, but he's lost what, 50, 60 pounds at least.
What is Charlie Weiss doing these days?
He's doing
he's still collecting
analysis.
From Notre Dame. Still,
I think
probably.
This is his last year that he's getting money from Notre Dame.
Was either last year or this year?
Shut
it was his last year,
man.
Yeah.
How long was his contract? Was it a 10-year contract?
No, I'll double check. I don't think it was that long.
It was. I feel like it was 7 or 8. It was like 8 years.
Yeah,
kind of deal.
And he only lasted what, 2, 3?
Yeah.
actual years.
Jelly up. I call Charlie Weiss jelly up because every time his toast falls down, it falls jelly up, man. That dude has got. I mean, he's made a lot of money.
Yep.
And doesn't maybe have the victories or the resume to maybe justify it.
You're right. It was jelly up. 10 years.
Year deal,
and he lasted 4, I think.
He got the Machado deal.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, good for him. And he's been, beginning of the year, I think he was doing some stuff for NBC Sports Boston, like the post game.
Okay.
And then now, when we saw him, he was on Sirius, I think, or doing something like that at the Super Bowl. But he looks all right.
He looks good.
He's a character, too.
He's got the gift of gab. He can charm anyone. He could talk himself into any job for the most part. Like, he's just a very engaging, charming, funny bastard, man.
Yeah.
He really is. So I haven't heard what he was doing, so it's good that he resurfaced and he's around, because I always liked Charlie.
Yeah.
Even though he was on the offensive side of the ball, it was probably better. I don't know if I'd enjoy having him as my direct coach.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed him as a coach because he wasn't coaching me. I think playing for him was not always easy for guys.
Did you give him crap? Did you give him, like, I mean, because as a defensive guy, I mean, you can kind of do that.
Yeah.
Like, especially.
Charlie loved having his balls busted.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, you can bust on him all day. I mean, he's a Jersey guy. That's what he does.
Yeah.
Man. That's what Jersey guys do. So, yeah, I would bust on a little bit. There was a lot of guys that liked to, you know, bust on his balls, and he'd come back at you hard, man. Funny dude.
Yeah.
Funny guy.
He's one of those guys that I would love to have on the show sometime. And anyone who said that they've talked to him in an extended period of time.
Very entertaining.
Yeah, he's apparently also pretty funny. But I'm telling you, the dude looks good. I mean, at least he looks better than what I expected him to look like. The dude has actually lost a decent amount of weight. All right, well, now that we've covered all those amazing topics within a 15-minute period, we're going to get to what happened last night. A lot of interesting things going around. Rob Gronkowski. Some evidence coming out leaning one way or the other as to whether or not he's going to stay or he's going to go. Mike Giardi kind of rocking worlds yesterday with a little bit of inside info. On top of that, more on the Anthony Davis situation and Manny Machado, someone who's going to regret that contract signing very soon. We'll get to all that and so much more right after this.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes, a weekly podcast for WWE fans with James Stewart and Mike Riley.
The Rock knows exactly who you are.
Studios.com and the Sports Hub app. Listen. listen, listen, watch, watch, and react in real time. Real time. Toucher and Rich are on Twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 985 Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Ted Johnson filling in for Fred this morning. And after Tom Brady went on TV Super Bowl week and said very coolly when he responded to the question about him retiring, he said the word zero. Well, the big question left after that is whether or not Gronk had it in him to play for another year. And to be honest, before the playoffs, I thought he was done. Retirement imminent. And ended up, I thought that it was he was broken. This was a decision that was made. Can't wait to make it to the end of the year. And then a role in Hobbs and Shaw 2 was a done deal, and his acting career, boom, would take off, wrestling and all that other stuff.
I'm with you, brother. I was thinking the same thing, same thing.
Did you change your mind after the playoffs?
I'm a little bit, now I've kind of pulled back on that hard stance. I've definitely just, there's enough evidence, and you can lay all that out. That kind of makes you think that he might come back for another year.
Yep. I see. I think so, too. And obviously, you know, Gronk looked like Gronk again, so that definitely helped. And then you've got that Instagram video, which I know, whatever, you can roll your eyes, but the one where he's sitting next to Tom Brady and they're doing the, and Tom Brady's shaking his head, which says to me that Tom Brady's going to put on the hard push.
Sure.
And despite a lot of people saying that Gronk will more than likely take a pay cut, although Bert Breer seems to think that because of how well he did in the playoffs, they're going to be like, okay, we're going to keep the contract the way it is, which does not sound like what's something the Patriots would do.
Very unpatriot-like.
Without a doubt.
If they were to keep it like it is. I would be shocked if Belichick didn't come to Gronk. And I think a lot of what his decision is going to be based on, whether or not he retires or stays or decides to keep playing, is on the contract. Because his production, you guys, it shows that his production was such that it's clear Belichick would come to him in the offseason and ask him to take a pay cut, because that's what Bill does. I've never seen any organization, I mean, just like total kind of nickel and dime. Hey, based on your production, we think you're worth this. And then he doesn't say, if you don't accept this offer, we're going to cut you. But it just feels implied, and it feels like that's what's going to happen if you don't. His production this year wouldn't justify the salary that he's going to make next year in Bill's eyes.
And you're probably right.
But if you want Gronk to stay, and I think you really would – I think you'd be smart to have him on this team, because he's such a big personality. He is – blocking tight end, he's a phenomenal blocker, phenomenal, and he can still give you something in the passing game. I think it would be a huge, huge kind of hole in that offense if he's not here. So I wouldn't ask him for a pay cut, but Bill's a different breed. Mm-hmm. I think if he was asked to take a pay cut, I think Gronk would be like, screw you guys. Like, really, like, screw you.
Here's the only thing I would say to that, Ted, and this is something I thought about after I saw the Instagram video. So Rob Gronkowski loves Tom Brady. And he has said such, I don't want to play for any other quarterback other than Tom Brady.
I believe that, too.
What if Brady goes to him and says, Rob, listen, I know they're giving you a pay cut, but my entire life, my entire NFL life here on this team, I have taken pay cut after pay cut after pay cut. I've probably left $100 million on the table for the better of the Patriots so I can win these rings. If I can do it, you can do it. Let's do it one more time.
You're awesome, bro. Here's the thing. This is awesome.
But you don't think Tom Brady would say that to him?
Yeah. You know what? And if I'm Gronk, I'm like, bro, you play quarterback. I mean, you never get hit. I mean, you have an offensive line that is one of the best offensive lines. You don't get hit in practice. You don't have to deal with the bumps and the bruises and the back and the knees and everything that I have to deal with day in, day out. Mm-hmm. Now, Tom, I hear you, bro. I love you, man. We've done something amazing. I wouldn't mind keeping it going because we got a good deal going here. Why don't you go to Belichick and you say, hey, tell Bill to just, you know what? Why don't you let me kind of take it easy during the week, practice week, and then just kind of turn it on for the games. If you can go tell Bill that, you know, convince Bill that you put me on a program where, you know, I call it the Mark Bavaro treatment. You know, kind of Mark Bavaro, his last year, Belichick at Cleveland called Bavaro I got this story from Mark. Mark's one of the greatest guys ever. He told me a story, and Belichick said, Mark, can you come play? Give me 1 year here in Cleveland. He goes, well, Bill, I'll come if you know you take care of me, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he did. I mean, he just did minimal stuff from practice, just kind of to get through the work week so that he had everything he needed in the gas tank on Sunday.
Yeah.
And Bill, that's how Bill treated him. Now, if Gronk can get the same kind of treatment that Bavaro got his last year in the league when he was playing for Belichick in Cleveland, then I could see Gronk maybe. So, you know, to me, he's not going to give any money back. So to me, he's going to want to accept the contract it's currently constructed. And if you can take care of me during the season.
See, I think they will. I think that's already something that's already being discussed.
Then I could see Gronk coming back. Otherwise, without those conditions, mm-hmm. I don't see him wanting to come back. It's too hard. I mean, this guy, and once you've already really contemplated retirement, like it's literally, I mean, if Gronk has, I get, Gronk has really like probably in his mind going, this is my last year. This is how I feel. Once you've already kind of put that out there in your brain.
Yeah.
It's very hard to kind of reel it back in. It's got to be a very convincing argument.
I got to think winning a Super Bowl helps.
I think there's no better way to go out, to be honest with you. Why come back and then not? You know, you just won a Super Bowl, and more to what Ted was saying, it's really great to talk about coming back now when no one's hitting you and you don't have – and you're not out in pads in the middle of August when it's 95 million degrees outside, or it's not week four and you're dealing with five different injuries just to get yourself on the field. Gronk knows all about this. He just went through a horrible season like that. It was just all the Patriots could do to get him upright and out on the field. I don't know if Gronk feels good now. But what if he says yes and then gets to training camp, and regardless of how much they take care of him, he's dragging himself around again in the middle of August?
Don't forget.
You think he's going to really put up with another 6 months of that?
Yeah, I just think he knows how hard it's. Guys, it's a football season, an NFL season, like Brett Parcells always says, it's like living in dog years. It really is. It is so mentally and physically taxing on you. And to go through, it's like a year is a long time. Don't forget, Gronk, what was it, week 7 or 8 of this year? He was like, thanks, Tom, for throwing me the ball in the red zone. And thanks for believing in me. Remember, I mean, he was so down. I mean, this Gronk was not himself all season long. Until the very end, all of a sudden, these guys flipped the switch, right? And now everything is great. But for three quarters or more of the season, this team looked uninspired. It looked like nobody was having fun. It looks like they were going through the motions for the most part. And then they turned it on, and everybody feels great right now. But if, you know, Gronk's going to be honest with himself, he knows it's a very long, long, grueling season. And I could just see him saying, unless you don't give me what I'm worth, unless you don't kind of cut my reps and take care of me during the season, I'm not sure I want to come back anymore.
So if the Patriots were to say, we're going to keep your salary the same, the Burt Breer theory, we're not changing anything, you're going to play out your contract, you think he's coming back?
Because it's a huge, the ultimate currency is respect. It's weird. And besides money, but how you show respect is by paying a guy.
Sure.
That's literally like how you feel about a guy is what you pay him.
Yeah.
You can say there's other ways to do it. But in the NFL, it's by what you pay. If you it's a ultimate sign of respect if you leave his contract the way it is, because he's fully expecting a call from Belichick in early March in the next couple weeks asking him to take a pay cut. Because that's what he's done for most guys their whole careers when their production doesn't meet what he thinks it should meet.
Sure. And the one thing about all this that is keeping it interesting is now his agent has come out and spoken, and Mike Giardi has...
I don't want to put any pressure timeline on it, but I expect within the next 2 weeks. Yeah.
Well, we have what his agent said. He was on the NFL Network yesterday. On top of that, Mike Giardi's got some inside info, and maybe it might change your mind about what you think Rob Gronkowski is going to do, and we'll get to that right after John Wallach's wonderful headlines.
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. We're in the Town Fair Tire studio, and it's Touch and Rich. Fred is out. We got Ted Johnson this morning, which is great because there's this Gronkowski, I guess you call it news right now, that Gronk himself said he would take 2 weeks after the season was over to contemplate whether or not he was going to return. Well, those 2 weeks have passed. And what we have learned is that, according to Mike Reese, Gronk is indeed still visiting Gillette. Now, does that mean anything to you? Because I know that he's getting treatment on his thigh, but shouldn't that at least be somewhat encouraging?
I think it's encouraging. I think it's a perfect way to put it, Rich, is that it is encouraging. Should you read too much into it? No, but should you read some into that? I think a little bit. The fact that he wants to be around that facility, my feeling is last year at this time, he probably was never in that facility.
Now that's a great point, because right? there was that contention last year, and I know there was a very and a lot of it had to do with that Seth Wickersham thing that came out. Everybody hated everybody if you listened to what everyone was saying.
I believe all of that was true, by the way.
Well, you know what? Listen, I think that the Guerrero thing truly put a divide in that, and I think that figured out, you know what they did? They acted like adults. This year, they were like, listen, we have our differences. Some of it sucks, but we're going to be adults, and we're going to learn how to deal with it, and we all have one goal. Let's try to win it. And also, in the end, winning cures all. If they would have lost, you know, let's say against, against the Chargers, they would have lost. Everything would have, I think, flared up one more time. However, I like the way they handled things this season. With all of that, the way the season ended, I still think even how the season went on, everyone seemed to kind of get it. And the Guerrero thing seemed to iron itself out as well. And I believed it too. However, you're right. This year's a completely different feel with Rob Gronkowski than it was last year. Like, that dude disappeared. Remember he did that stupid thing with the motorcycle race that they had there, where he had that awkward press conference, and they're like, how come you're not coming to workouts? You're literally standing right next door to where you were supposed to be earlier this week.
You know, it's the craziest thing was the blatant defiance that you saw from not only the two top stars. Mm-hmm. When you don't go to OTAs, that is being defiant. It's within their rights to not attend OTAs, by the way. There is no rule that says you have to go to OTAs. It's a voluntary thing. But for Belichick, it is not voluntary, right? It is, he expects you there, and he doesn't care what excuse you have for him. He expects you there. So that was an open, defiant kind of thing that Gronk and Tom did, which was like the biggest slap in the face. It really was for them not going. And then you got a player who used to play for him, for Belichick, who's still currently in the NFL, and Danny Amendola, just going off on Belichick. So that whole thing, all that Seth Wickersham article stuff, was all real. And these guys had it. And they were finally, after the Malcolm Butler decision to not play Malcolm Butler, gave, I think, these guys the excuse to really... really kind of be defiant in Bill and say, and what are you going to do about it?
Sure.
You, the guy that maybe probably lost us a Super Bowl.
Sure.
What are you going to do about it? And so it was... And now, after what happened this year, there will be full attendance at OTAs. There won't be any issues this offseason like they had last year because they won the whole thing.
See, I still don't think Brady's going to go to OTAs, and I think now it's fine.
Yeah, he's gone.
You think so?
Oh, really?
Now, why would you think this year he would go?
It just proved he didn't have to show up to win.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Like, No. But okay. That whole thing, he wanted to be with his family, and that was all bullcrap.
Well, of course, part of that. He was protesting, but still.
He was protesting. He has nothing to protest anymore. What's he going to protest?
Well, it has nothing to do with it's. I'm 42 years old. I've paid my dues. Yeah, I'm not going last year.
Here's the thing. Tom felt... there was nothing about missing OTAs last year that Tom felt good about. I guarantee you, it was him sending a message to Bill, like, stop screwing around. You know, give me a damn game ball. Didn't 2017? I don't think Belichick gave him a game ball for any of his. It wasn't he MVP and never won. But you go to game ball, Ted. Get over it. Oh, the game balls mean a lot to the guys. This acknowledgement.
Tom Brady, you even think Tom Brady means that much?
Because you want your acknowledgement to be from your coaches and your teammates. That's more important than Joe from Saugus or Joe Bag of Donuts from, you know.
He's a good caller, by the way.
Right, real good caller.
We like Joe from Saugus.
They want acknowledgement from their teammates and their coaches that they did a good job. And he never got. So there's just so much there that Tom was like saying, you know what, screw you, Bill. I'm not going to go to your coveted OTAs. And so now that they've literally, I mean, they have kissed and made up. They love you, bro. They hug it out all the time.
You know what's weird, though?
You won't miss another OT.
You see, here's the one thing that I think is different this year is that because they won, I don't think anybody's going to care whether or not he goes. Like, if Tom Brady doesn't go to OTAs, the fans at least are going to look at you like, oh, well, he didn't go last year and they won the Super Bowl. And I think even some of the players now are going to go, he didn't go last year, he won the Super Bowl. Now, granted, if he does go, you're right. That sends a huge message. Like, let's get our ass in line. You know, we're going to take this season seriously. I understand that. But no one, I think, is going to care because the proof's in the pudding.
Because they got lucky a little bit this year.
Well, I think we all kind of.
They got lucky. 11-5. 11-5 has been this Patriots have been 11-5 and not made the playoffs before.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This 11-5 team got a first-round bye. And not only first-round bye, I mean, they got the Chargers that had to go from the West Coast to the East Coast twice in 2 weeks.
They're only themselves to blame for that. That was right.
Yeah, that was on the Chargers.
That was really stupid.
They barely got that first-round bye, and I don't think if they had to play Wild Card Weekend that this team's winning the whole thing.
Is that luck, or is that Bill Belichick's a better strategist, and he would never have done anything like that? See, to me, that was just bad coaching, bad decision-making on the Chargers side. I don't think that was luck.
Whatever excuse we got, I remember Bert was saying technically they couldn't get it up and running. If they didn't know they'd have to stay the week. And my point there was Bill would have had it covered.
Yeah.
Bill would have had it covered. Yeah. If they had to stay out on the West Coast for a week, Bill would have had it covered.
Yeah, so that when I say lucky, they were lucky that they placed a team that had these external factors that, let's face it, factored into their performance that day.
But the Chargers, before the playoffs, everyone was saying it was going to be one of the toughest outs. Yeah. We're seeing the Chargers and the Chiefs. Those are the two teams, and they ran the gauntlet, and they got through both of them.
It wasn't luck going into Kansas City and winning.
I won't give them credit for the Chargers win as much. I'll give them a ton of credit for the Kansas City game.
Without a doubt.
There's no question. Oh, yeah. It was as good a win as you're going to see.
Well, so the Gronk thing is interesting because now you got Gronk's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, who when he's not karate chopping sweet boards on 60 Minutes. That's actually Drew Rosenhaus, by the way.
Yeah,
he went on 60 Minutes and he said, hey, by the way, if you're going to talk to me about being an agent, you better bring the video camera around when I'm in my karate gi like a 7-year-old karate chopping boards.
On fire. Don't forget the board was on fire.
Yeah, he had to show the world that's how cool he is. Well, Drew Rosenhaus was indeed on NFL Live yesterday, and he said this about Gronk's future with the team.
I checked in with Rob a couple days ago. I've talked to the Patriots about it. Right now, Rob is—he's thinking it through. You know, he's given it a lot of thought. Rob will certainly, I think, make a decision in the foreseeable future. I don't want to put any pressure on him and give him a time frame, but I would imagine that it will be sometime within the next couple of weeks.
Okay, so there you go. He's just extending the deadline. But to me, the fact that his agent is talking to the Patriots lends me to believe what you were talking about, that possibly Gronk is waiting to find out whether or not the team is going to ask him to take a pay cut, which if I'm Gronk, I'm at least finding out that information before I make any sort of decision. So that makes sense. However, you now have this nugget from Mike Giardi of the NFL Network yesterday saying that, quote, Gronkowski told multiple teammates and associates that he wanted to win another ring in the first few days following the Super Bowl for what it's worth. It could be the emotion talking.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the emotion. Maybe he hasn't thought it through. And you're right, Ted. Maybe there hasn't been that moment where he sat alone with himself and saying, dude, my body kills.
Oh, yeah. Seriously.
And if he didn't have it now, he will have it in August or September.
And that could have been him yelling it drunk from a duck boat, from all we know.
Yes.
You know? Yeah, after drinking a $500 bottle of wine, that's where the source could have been. Yeah, I heard him on the boat. He was screaming, I can't wait for another ring. Well, that certainly sounds like a guy who isn't dead set on retiring, however, but at least the guy has a future in broadcasting ahead of him. Take this, for example, on Gronk's upcoming appearance on Dining Playbook.
Okay, Gronk, we're not going to talk football. We're going to talk food.
Oh, all right. I like that.
Does that sound good?
I like that.
Okay, a little change
football,
of course
food,
for you.
You know, they both F-O-O. Yeah, I didn't know what way you're going.
I love it. We're talking food.
Okay.
I need him for another year. Okay. I really do.
Can we all agree that Gronk, I mean, Gronk likes being Gronk. Like,
oh,
when
yeah.
he's in
really?
Full Gronk. Yeah, he loves it.
Come on, stop.
Now, I think Gronk, the only way Gronk can be Gronk, and the only way, like, I always compare this to kind of like, think about the Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football. You can only be Johnny Football if you're playing football.
Yeah,
sure.
You can only be Gronk I think if you're playing football,
no, I don't know. Because Charles Barkley's Charles Barkley. He's not playing.
We don't know what his potential is off the field. No, I mean, it's their speculation.
That personality isn't going anywhere. It doesn't matter where
he is. But he's not
going
to be relevant.
Oh, I disagree with that, too.
See, okay.
I think he's going
to
be
relevant. See, I think he's got that thing that transcends having to play. Like Charles Barkley, he's a great example. Like Charles Barkley is someone who I can't wait to hear what he has to say. I'd like him better off the court than he was on the court.
I'm just telling you, it's not.
Did you just hear that clip?
That was funny.
You put him in front of a camera, and if he just says that, just
that's
like a
magic, you put him in front of a camera.
I'll watch that.
We'll see.
All right.
He's very observant, by the way, the way food and football. We'll start with
okay, Gronk, we're not going to talk football. We're going to talk food.
Oh, all right. I like
that.
Sound good? I like
that. A little change
football
of course
food,
for you.
You know, they both F-O-O. You know, I didn't know what way you're going.
I love it. We're talking food.
All right.
Absolutely.
He's a charming SOB, though.
Without a doubt.
Oh, he is.
Yeah. He's got that thing. As you said, it's like you can't buy likability. The dude's got it.
He's got it.
And he's got it. He's got a lot of it. When we used to have him on, oh, man. Ted, we had him on, like, in his second year when he was still
pure
to the world.
No one was steering him in any direction. He wasn't, like, trying to get anything. He was
He was the best. We had him on every Monday or something, and he came on, and we were like, hey, Gronk, what's the best concert you ever went to? Oh, yeah, one time I saw a concert on the Hill. And it was these two guys. It was Dave and Matthew. It was the Dave and Matthew band. Those two guys were awesome.
Do you think he's just got us all right where he wants us?
Nope.
No, I think no.
Nope.
This is what he is.
Okay. This is wrong.
Fair enough.
No, you can't make this up. This is definitely him.
So if retiring means we're getting more of that, I'll have no problem with it. I'll miss the hell out of the guy.
Want another
field.
Year. Yeah,
yeah, without
I'm with
a doubt.
You guys. I'm with you.
All right, we will get to. Let's see. More Anthony Davis stuff. It just keeps trickling out. I'm kind of getting picked up. I'm really getting kind of sick and tired of the Anthony Davis thing. And I'm the guy who's basically been running with the story. But he's been grossing me out as of late. But we do have a little nugget that's been coming out. Also, someone's going to wildly regret. Not someone. The Padres are going to wildly regret signing Manny Machado to a 10-year deal. We'll get to that in just a moment.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Okay, Gronk, we're not going to talk football. We're going to talk food.
Oh, all right. I like
that.
Does
that sound good?
I like that.
Okay, a little change
football,
of course
food,
for you.
You know, they both F-O-O. You know, I didn't know what way you're going.
I love it. We're talking food.
Oh, 98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Ted Johnson filling in for Fred this morning. By the way, you can watch the show over there at twitch.tv. Just search the Sports Hub. We got a few people in there right now. I don't know if Mark Jamelli is hanging around. Nick's dad. I don't think he's... Is he there this morning? He is.
Thumbs up.
All right. You can go talk to the Recliner King himself. So I mentioned real quick that there was some Anthony Davis news, and I'm going to make this quick because even I'm getting grossed out by everything that's been happening over the last couple of weeks. So, and I was Mr. Anthony Davis for the longest time, but to be quite honest.
A year and a half.
And
you've jumped off. That's it? You're done?
It's not that I don't want him. It's that the whole thing is exhausting. It's just, in a nutshell, here's what I want to happen. I want Jason Tatum to absolutely go off in the playoffs, and I want them to make it to the finals with Jason Tatum, and I want Danny Ainge to sit back at the end of it, not even win the final. You don't have to win the finals. Just make it there, and Tatum to just be a star, like come into his own, and have Danny Ainge just sit back and go, I can't do it, man. I can't make the trade. I can't do it. Kyrie, do you want to get to the finals again? You got yourself a great team here. You now have a stud playmaker standing to your left in Jason Tatum. We got him locked up for a while. Sign it so we don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to leave or whether or not Anthony Davis is going to leave. I don't want to go through another year of having to sit there and begging Anthony Davis to stick around. Because to be quite honest, this Kyrie Irving thing is getting exhausting.
Oh, it's
this year.
It's crazy.
And I'm one of the few guys that thinks you have to have Kyrie Irving to win. You tolerate his crap this year, and it's been kind of crappy. I mean, the fact that the other day he did that whole deal where he went back on saying that he was going to resign here, it's exhausting, and I don't want to do that again another year with Anthony Davis. So more than anything, I want Tatum to become a star, so it makes the choice a lot easier for him. However, Anthony Davis's agent, not agent, Shams Charania, a reporter for the, where does he work for?
He's The Athletic.
The Athletic now? Okay. He's one of the inside guys. He's like Wojnarowski. After Anthony Davis said all this stuff about every team is, I'm open for every team, blah, 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 blah. Here's what Shams had to say.
I'm still told his four-team list of the Lakers, Clippers, Knicks, Bucks still exists in that order. There are a couple other teams undisclosed right now that he would also consider. The Celtics, I'm told, are still not a long-term destination for him in his mind, a preference in his mind. So the stuff, you know, where the Celtics stand has not changed despite what Anthony Davis said over the weekend. Sources told me the Celtics are not in the as far as a long-term play. But listen, it's going to depend exactly on where the Pelicans want to trade him.
All right, gross. I'm going to make a statement right now. And this is that I refuse to talk about Anthony Davis until any real news is broken. Like, it's just gotten ridiculous, and it's the same thing over and over again. Oh, he does like the Celtics. Oh, he doesn't like the Celtics. Oh, he wants to be here. Oh, he doesn't want to be here. I have no problem talking about Kyrie Irving because Kyrie Irving is important to me. Like, Kyrie Irving is an important piece to the Celtics. They need to get him to stick around. But this Anthony Davis stuff, I am exhausted by it, and I'm out.
His comments over the weekend you made reference to it. When he was basically saying, yeah, I'm open to the 29 other teams. I think it's kind of how he phrased it.
Mm-hmm.
Just hearing him talk and getting his opinions on the whole thing, did that change your opinion of the guy?
No, it wasn't that.
You've had enough of it.
It's that I think it's just because 1 year of having to worry whether or not a guy is going to resign is enough. And with Kyrie, I mean, it's like it's exhausting and it sucks. Well, and I hate the back and forth that he's been going with, but he's worth it. Like, Kyrie is a guy to me that's worth dealing with the BS for another couple months. I don't want to do this all over again with Anthony Davis.
You say that Jason Tatum, what if he goes off in the playoffs and it's one of those deals where it's like Danny Ainge is like, no, I'm good. We're going to love the ones we're with.
Huge would that be for morale, too?
But let me ask you this. Does that make him want to stay?
Maybe.
Or does that say, you know what? I'd stay if Anthony Davis was here.
See, I think Kyrie Irving is going to stay if they make it far into the finals.
Okay.
Like, if they make it far into the finals, I think that's enough for Kyrie to stick around. And, you know, they probably have to move some more pieces around and do whatever. But I to be quite honest, if getting Anthony Davis here means that's the one thing that will keep Kyrie around, it's worth it to me.
Yeah.
You have to have Kyrie.
In your gut, you kind of feel you're leaning more towards him staying. I feel like, I don't think he's coming back. I think Kyrie is gone. He's got other things he wants to do, not on this team. The way he kind of talks about it makes me feel like this dude has no desire to stay here long term.
I think he's keeping his options open.
Yeah.
And more to your point, Rich, I think that they can make the finals without Anthony Davis. I don't think they can win the finals without Anthony Davis. I think you need Anthony Davis here to beat Golden State. Whether or not Durant comes back, I think that, and more importantly, I think Ainge feels this way too.
Well, here's the only reason
is why he's so hot on him. I think he knows the way to win a championship is to pair Kyrie with Anthony Davis.
And listen, I think that's a good point. However, if indeed Jason Tatum starts to excel and become even better than what he is right now, because right now he's a really good player.
Yep.
But if he goes next level and you continue to see the improvement of Gordon Hayward. And let's say Gordon Hayward gets back to pretty damn close to what he was in Utah. What's to say that that team couldn't go to the finals next year and take on a Warriors team that does not have Kevin Durant anymore?
There's no guarantee that either one of those two things is going to happen. With Davis,
well, Kevin Durant's leaving.
With Davis, you have a sure thing. You know exactly what you're getting. The other two things,
could happen, maybe,
but name me a great athlete. The majority of great athletes have that gene in them. I mean, think about it. And we've talked about this yesterday. If you want Anthony Davis, if you want a high-priced player that's one of the best five players on the planet, most times this is part of the package. You got to deal with this.
I don't know why the words you're
Kevin
saying
Durant,
that I believed in 100% a week ago are just falling
Kevin
on deaf ears right
Kevin
now.
Kevin Durant is
I'm
also
so,
one of the best five players on the planet.
He's
a whiny little baby, too.
John, everything you're saying is true. I am so disgusted by Anthony Davis right now. I don't even want to talk about him.
Okay. You brought this up.
Because that was news.
And it still is.
And you know what?
Brought this up.
And it's a promise that I guarantee you I'm going to break. But right now, I don't want to talk about Anthony Davis until actual news is broken. I'll talk about Kyrie because he's on the team, and that's important to me.
Yep.
Keeping him around is important to me.
I agree with that,
but the Anthony Davis stuff, I want none of it.
Starting now?
Real news is broken.
That's all.
Starting now,
okay.
And it will be broken by 9.
Okay.
Okay.
So
that's
for 2 hours, we're in a no-fly zone.
That's all my right. promise to myself. All I don't right. want to talk about that guy all until right. real news is broken.
I got it.
And I mean real news.
Okay.
Not Sham saying, hey, he's going back to San Diego. Done. I'm done with it until I'm not done with it.
Fair enough, brother.
And we'll all agree that I'll be probably fairly wishy-washy on this thing because it's been an obsession of mine for a year and a half.
Real quick, I will say this. Jason Tatum has to play, show huge improvement.
And he will. I see. I give
it, for them to think that they don't need Anthony Davis to win the whole thing.
Without a doubt. All right.
Feel better? Not really?
Yeah.
Okay,
that was
good.
A pretty good cleansing.
Yeah,
I actually feel pretty good. I feel like I just walked out of confession, and now I'm going to go sin some more. You know,
I'm
going to fill the meter a little bit. So I'm going to just click off any news that has anything to do with Anthony Davis, and I'm just going to just let it fester until it blows over, and then I'll probably just my head will explode at some point.
Good
All
luck.
Right.
There's going to be breaking news on Anthony Davis.
I'm sure there
soon.
Will. 617-779-0985. No commercials, just on Wallach's headlines, and no Anthony Davis news.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.